This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into hour number two of the opening day of small game season. Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama's already open. Rabbit and squirrels could be in trouble this morning. If you're headed out, we'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Shoot us a text. That's our in-studio instant text line. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to have a couple of special guests joining us there from the LSU National Gymnastics team. I'm talking about Ashley Cowan and Sierra Ballard. They accompanied us for a Tigers in the Wild television episode, which is airing this week on Bayou Wild Television on their first offshore red snapper fishing trip. We'll get some of their comments and thoughts about it. We're also going to hear from our friend the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert. Bad boy, we got a swamp person, Troy Landry, Swamp People, a high-profile alligator hunter. Kind of controversial. A lot of people are coming to his defense and to the criticism of the department. We'll tell you the facts, and you decide. Paddler's Report with Brendan Bayard, if you like to go out in a kayak or a canoe. And, of course, our old Born on the Buddy, Bayou Buddy, kind of say that real fast. Mike Gallo going to join us to give us a fishing report. Getting to your text messages coming in. This one says, let's see, we know who this is. We're going to designate him from now on the Melaton Man. If you like melatons like I do, oh, man, what great when they stuff them with seafood, shrimp or crawfish or even ground beef or venison. They're really good. Anyway, he's hopefully getting back to his melaton management. He's got lots of buds and early blooms, but the vines look rough. Cooler temperatures should help. Hope I'll be reporting on picking some by November. Well, David, I got to share with you, mine are looking the same situation. The stalks and the leaves, a little rough, but lots of flowers and buds. So I think that's good news for the melaton crop. And here's one that says, I'm working this weekend, but I'm going to take the baby girl out to bag some bushytails. Translation, take his daughter to get some squirrels. She's not as anxious to shoot them as her older brother. I can understand that, but she'll come around. All right, here's one from Big E. Says, when we evacuated to Port Arthur, Texas, Miss Pam and I went to a nice restaurant for dinner. Our waitress was a young college-age girl. When I asked her if the shrimp were domestic, she asked, what does that mean? They didn't order anything with shrimp. Yeah, I can understand. Yeah, I ask that a lot of times, particularly if I see redfish on the menu. I'll ask where the redfish from, because, you know, redfish in Louisiana is a game fish. You can't put it into commerce unless it's a foreign-raised fish or comes in from, as an import from another state. And most times they don't know. They say they're going to go ask, but we never really get an answer. But the issue with the shrimp and crawfish imports, I got to tell you, I've seen videos. And if you've ever seen some of the conditions, the unsanitary ponds where they wash their clothes, they use it for human waste, and they also raise seafood in it with full of antibiotics to try to clean it up. Then they import it to this country, and it comes in here a lot of time under the disguise of a different name and a little fine print. You got to really read it. But if you see crawfish tails for $7 a pound and other crawfish tails for $14 a pound, you can probably guess which one is the import. And again, it's a personal choice. If you want to eat that junk, you're welcome to it. But I think people need to know what they're eating. All right, as one says, you never mentioned a disability hunt open this weekend. Yes, we did. Old Man Sam is participating, and he brought it up to us. Here's one says, I'd like to give a shout to all the members of the Double Nickel West Bass Club. They fished at Yefunkta River every Tuesday morning. That's from Big Man Bassin in Mandeville. Well, good luck to you guys, and give me some reports. Let me know how you guys are doing on the Yefunkta River. A lot of tournaments there, and particularly in the fall and winter, because the water skiers and boat traffic kind of lightens up. All right, we come back after this. You'll hear from Mike Gallo. We call him Born on the Bayou. In fact, it's his walk-up music. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, I can only imagine how many compliments and thank yous Captain Chris Orfanello gets with CETO. You know, because I hear a lot of people get feedback and say, look, we want to thank you for mentioning it on the radio. We got the policy. We would have been stuck out there for hours. It was hot. It was full of mosquitoes. They came very quickly. They towed us. They brought us fuel. A lot of different instances. And I'm sure when that big yellow boat shows up, there's probably some cheering on the water. And if you ever need a rescue or you need their services of fuel delivery, electrical jump starts, or towing, get yourself a CETO policy. It's easy to do. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or you can sign up at CETO.com. It's $249 for a whole year. Makes a great gift, by the way, for a loved one that you really care about, who you know spends a lot of time on the water. And speaking about spending a lot of time on the water, Captain Mike Gallo joins us of Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Captain Mike, kind of retrace your steps this week. How did you do?
Well, Don, I spent 2 days in the Biloxi Marsh pursuing redfish. We had high water that was falling slowly. We were coming out of that neap tide, so we didn't have the greatest of tide movement. But we did well on redfish. I have two people, and we caught 16 in the 2 days that we went. We probably caught another 16 that were 12 inches or smaller. So I see there's some small ones that'll be there next year that'll grow into keeper size. So that's promising to see. Yesterday, with the rain all around us, we waited for a window of opportunity. We grabbed some live shrimp, and we decided to make a go of it as close to the lodge here as possible. And we fished one of the deeper passes, unknown pass area, and caught quite a few white trout, a few speckled trout mixed in. We had a flounder, we had a black drum. So it was productive for the conditions. And I would certainly feel that today, the water being high and the wind out of the north, it's going to be falling, and those same areas are going to be productive, the deeper passes where there's good current movement. After we got them going pretty good with the live shrimp, we switched in some plastic, and they continued to bite really well until all the live shrimp was gone. And then that bite on plastic might have lasted another 30 minutes, and it faded out. And by then it was 1 o'clock, and there was rain really close. Little drizzle was on us, so we decided we got plenty. Let's go back and clean them up, and we'll start again tomorrow.
So what's the plan today, given the situation? We've got some pretty stiff east and northeast winds and pretty good tide range and no rain. What's the plan?
Well, same two guys. They're going to be here for a week, and we're going to go see if we can. I'm going to poke my nose out into Lake Bourne and see how rough it is. If it's too rough, we'll probably hit the intercoastal and run down towards Bayou B Avenue and fish that marsh along the Mr. Go towards the Shell Beach area. That's all protected. And it also will put me in an area where there may be some trout if we decide the red fishing's not working.
You know, Mike,
It'll give me two options, and also we'll stay in protected water.
We're talking with Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. You know, Mike, this time of the year, get into early October, I get it every week. Somebody wants to know, are the World Series trout showing up? What's it look like over there on those bridges in Pontchartrain?
I've caught some decent-sized trout. I wouldn't call anything World Series as of yet. I haven't done much fishing on the bridges, but I do think the fishing's a little bit ahead of schedule. Normally, I think the second half of October is more consistent, you know, once it arrives. And we're already seeing trout in the local area. So I think we're just a bit ahead of schedule. When we get some good weather, I will certainly be over there at those bridges giving those a try. But I haven't done any fishing there as of yet.
Mike, what's the availability of live bait in your area?
We just left the Wrigley Lee's Marine. I got three boats going out this morning. So plenty of live bait. I was there recently, 30 minutes ago, picking up live bait for two of the other captains. And a lot of beautiful shrimp they're catching right here in the local waters. So they stay live, you know, really well in your tanks, and the fish are eating them up.
And Mike, you know, one thing that's been real quiet this year, triple tail. Have you caught any at all? And anyone that you talked to seen any in Lake Bourne and some of those areas where they normally come in?
I have not caught one. We saw a few this year. Some of them we saw were only 8 or 10 inches long, and we didn't bother with them because they're obviously undersized. One of the captains that worked for me caught one maybe 3 weeks ago. He said he saw two. They caught one. The second one they hooked, and he popped off. So I have seen one caught this year, and it was a nice-sized fish, I would say 18 to 20 inches.
Yeah, it seemed to be the pattern. They were more down south off the Venice coast than they did coming in for some reason. And, you know, it varies from year to year. And, of course, the availability of crab floats has a direct correlation to how many triple tail you're going to find in Lake Bourne, because that's mainly where you're going to see them.
Right. That's where we saw them, behind crab traps. There should be plenty of crab traps in the lake, because I know we saw a lot of crabs the last couple of days in the Biloxi Marsh. You know, just going out with the tide, you see them while you're fishing. If we didn't see two dozen over the last couple of days that we were in the marsh, we didn't see any. So that's a good sign, I would assume, for the crabbers.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, you got three boats going out. I know you're busy there at the Spots and Dots Lakehouse Lodge. But before you go, in addition to finding you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, give us your website and telephone number if somebody wants to get in touch with you for some good fall action.
Very simple. You can find me at AAofLA.com. We're on social media at Angling Adventures of Louisiana. And the reliable telephone, which is 985-781-7811. And, Don, I find it interesting that you said you've had lots of people tell you thank you for turning them on to CETO. I've had the same thing happen to me with customers that have their own boats but still fish with me a couple of times a year to sort of brush up on their technique or areas and things like that. And they'll tell me about a trip they went on and had some sort of a breakdown, and CETO was right there to help them. And they said, Cap, if you wouldn't have turned us on to that, we might still be out there trying to paddle.
Yep, they make a lot of people happy. They perform a wonderful service. Mike, have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with soon. And we'll be talking about that Dutch trip coming up pretty soon, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm staying away from that spot of his so that it'll have some fish in it.
Good, let them stack up in there. Thanks again, Mike. We'll see you next week.
All right, Don, talk to you then.
There he goes, born on the bayous, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, if you like to get out there and get up close and personal to your fish, maybe in a kayak or a canoe, Brendan Bayard joins us next. He'll talk about last weekend's Redfish Rumble and what the prospects are for a windy weekend paddling for your fish. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our Paddler's Report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And Brendan, let's take it back a week to the Redfish Rumble. We were talking about it with Captain Eric on Highway 23. How did it turn out, and what does that say about the next few weekends for fall fishing?
Yeah, Don, the fishing was absolutely wonderful. Guys caught tons of redfish, tons of trout. I know it wasn't a trout tournament, but they had sections where they got into every cast with a nice trout. So I think falling tide is looking great. So I think the seasonal patterns are a little bit ahead of schedule. We're seeing the benefits of fall earlier, and those fish have already migrated into areas in the upper estuary like Lake Hermitage and, you know, way into Port Sulphur, Happy Jack. So Highway 23 is ready and primed for fall and tide.
What did you see, and what were the reports from the fishermen on the size of the fish with perspective to the new slot limits are being put in?
Yeah, there were, there was a mix of a lot of small fish in there, and then, you know, there was a few of the right size upper slot fish. You had to cull through a lot of the smaller ones, but they're all out there. You might catch 20 reds to put together a bag of perfect reds. But, you know, it's all part of the fun out there, tugging the lines. You know, that's what the trends I've been seeing for the last couple of years is there's, for whatever reason, a lot of really small red fish mixed in with the normal mid to upper slot reds that you see in the marsh.
Who was the big winner and what was the prize?
Chuck Bahan won. He got a cash prize. I forgot the amount, but it was a CPR tournament. And if you want to see the full results, you can look at the Tourney X app. It's available on your phone or anywhere you download apps. And you can just search for Redfish Rumble and you'll see the list of everybody's results there. It was a CPR tournament. Fallen Tide will be a way tournament, so it'll be just, you know, string them and bring them and bring your redfish, trout, and flounder to the scales down in Empire next weekend.
Yep, and get more details on it there. Well, we got some pretty nice taste of fall weather coming up all next week, but it could be a little windy. What advice can you give people that are going to be fishing over this next week?
Yeah, luckily, the way that Highway 23 is set up, we have that nice levee that protects us from kind of northeast winds, depending upon where you're at. I would advise people, I mean, it's a perfect day to scout for bad weather because we got a little bit, it's the silver lining of today, if you will. There's going to be some people out there scouting for Fallen Tide, but if you can catch them on a day like today, then you're probably pretty good shape for next weekend when we have probably similar situations. I would worry about water clarity after like a whole week of windy conditions, but you know, they've been adding some dirt down there and making some little pockets of land and some of those areas don't see as much turnover and stay a little bit clearer than they used to. So that's a good thing. Up in Hermitage, you know, we just mentioned the trout and red fishing has been great. Port Sulphur, all the way down to Yellow Cotton Bay. So I think really you could go anywhere top to bottom and a winner could come out of that. Even that down on the road at Tidewater Road over there by what they call Chawi Bay has that new kind of landmass above it. So that even offers a little bit of protection from the north wind too if you on the other side of Chawi Bay away from the road. So lots of great areas.
All right. All good stuff, Brendan. Thanks for the report. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All right. Have a good weekend. Brendan Bayard, one of our two field reporters for our Paddlers Report. All right. Coming back after this, it's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time. You probably heard Troy Landry cited for two citations for alligator violations. We'll tell you the story and also about a lot of people that are standing up for him and saying that, you know, he shouldn't have gotten the citations. What do you think? We'll give you the facts. Up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text messages, we have this one. Good morning, Don. Do whales enter the Gulf of Mexico? If yes, have you ever seen one? Enjoy your show. Yes, they in fact do. There's several species that come into the Gulf of Mexico, most of the smaller species. I have seen a whale once. Unfortunately, I did not have a video camera with me, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the whales in Alaska. Those are the big boys that do the surface busting, and I've seen some of those and got some of that on video. But yeah, there are whales in the Gulf of Mexico. The more time you spend out there, the higher your chances of seeing one. Let's see. The Worm wants to know about bass in intercoastal marsh around Miller's Ditch and Unknown Pass. I'll do a little investigation on that for you and get an answer for you next week's show. Let's see. John Terrebonne, there he is, the Convent Hunting Club. They're on the way to load up the rabbit dogs. Yeah, their hunting season opens up for rabbits. They've been training the dogs off-season, and now they get to bring the shotguns. They've seen a lot of rabbits, and the hurricane pushed some of the brush down, so it should be a good start for a great season of rabbit hunting. Go get those lapins. And here's a crazy story. Says I had a chameleon ride the entire 40 miles from Covington to Metairie on my windshield Thursday. He hung on doing 65 plus on the causeway, even in the rain. You know, if you look on the toe pads of those lizards, they've kind of got little suction cups on it. I bet you he had some white knuckles when he got to Metairie. Here's one that says, I wanted to let you know that I'm shooting a lot of small game today. I'm not sure what the limit is. I'm the photographer for the Rain Recreational Pee-wee Football. And we'll be shooting photographs of football players all day in Louisiana. Look it up and find out what the limit is for shooting photos of peewee football. LOL. Have a lot of fun doing it. All right, we come back after this station identification pause. We'll tell you about Swamp Man, Swamp People, Troy Landry. Was caught, nailed by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries for a couple of alligator violations. His story's next, and you decide, do you think it was warranted or not? We'll do that right after we let our local stations identify themselves along the outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, our Bayou Wild TV affiliate station in Baton Rouge, WAFB, reported that the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries cited famed gator hunter and star of the show Swamp People, Troy Landry, following an undercover sting. Two agents say they got a tip that certain people were hunting alligators in Lake Pelord in St. Mary Parish, despite not having permission to hunt on that property. So last month, the two agents staked out the area for 6 hours until they spotted Landry and two other people, including an unidentified cameraman, arrive in the area by boat. In their incident report, the agents said they later determined Landry did have permission to hunt on the property. However, he allegedly did not have the proper alligator tags to hunt in that specific area. The agents said they also found a dead alligator floating in the lake with the same line hanging from its mouth as the rest of Mr. Landry's lines. Landry also admitted that prior to the agents making contact with him, he cut a dead stiff alligator loose from his line and let it float away. Charged with two counts of failing to tag an alligator upon taking, and if convicted, facing a maximum fine of $1,900 and up to 120 days jail time, is 64-year-old King of the Swamp, Troy Landry of Pierrepont, Louisiana, today's bad boy of the outdoors. You know, I'm thinking Landry probably could have been charged with wanton waste, which is a charge for wasting game or fish when he cut that dead alligator loose. And it's going to be interesting to see what the History Channel does with the program Swamp People. If he's convicted or pleads guilty, he'll pay the fine. He won't get any jail time. Very rarely do they ever put people in jail for wildlife and fishery violations. But the real punishment is going to be to his reputation and its impact to the future of his show. Then again, it might even make him more popular. You know, he could become an enhanced image of that bad boy image of a swamp person and even make him more popular. A lot of people have risen to his defense. And, you know, last week when we talked about what regulations would you like to see change, one of the ones I brought up was we got too many alligators. And that's one of the arguments people are making. Why are you writing tickets for cutting a dead alligator loose? There's more alligators than we need. They're threatening other species. And I suggested that our Department of Wildlife and Fisheries should come up with a more open system of hunting, let more people hunt them, even if it requires tags, kind of a tag like we do with deer and other game, to take more of these alligators because there is an overpopulation. And a lot of people said he was targeted because of who he was, and they'd like to see him walk. And other people say, no, he's not above the law. He broke the law. He's got to do the time. What do you think? 504-260-1870. That's our in-studio text line. And we come back, we'll get to some of those texts, and also we'll talk to the Plastic Man, one Captain Ryan Lambert. We'll get him to recap his teal season. I made a teal hunt with him down there last Sunday. Wasn't that bad, but it was not one of his more outstanding teal seasons, similar to what Captain Kirk said on the opposite side of the state. We'll hear from him and get a fishing report after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we've got some text messages come in, said someone has seen whale sharks diving the platforms out in the Gulf. Right now, though, they're in Port Gibson sitting on an acorn flat with a beautiful morning. That's Chet from Best Business Forms. Yeah, Chet, hope you get that deer. And let's see, Old Man Sam says maybe the show Swamp People needed a ratings boost. I don't know if they need that kind. Here's one that says Troy got caught. Shut up, pay the fine, and obey the law. Case closed. And another text says the concession vendor at the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival may have been told by the wholesale distributor that the shrimp were Gulf shrimp. The festival volunteers definitely would not know. Yeah, that's a fact. This one says, with regard to Troy Landry, I know he supposedly broke the law with the overpopulation of gators. He was really helping the problem. Well, I don't know if it was really his intent to solve a problem or I understand. I do television, and a lot of times there's a lot of pressure to get the shots, to get the show, and you can't stretch it and do things wrong. And I mean, he got caught doing that. Here's one that says, arresting Troy gives the ratings boost to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries enforcement agents as well. Somewhat of a public service announcement, we catch them all. And here's one said, he didn't want to waste a tag on a bad gator. That's a waste of our resources, even though their population is getting more out of control, even with hunting him. I like him and buy his products from Rouse's, but he knows better and should set a better example to all who envy. I think we'll leave it on that excellent text, summing it up. Captain Ryan Lambert, the Plastic Man, joins us. He's done some alligator hunting this year, and I did some with him, but you got to do it right. All right, Ryan, y'all got to do everything right.
Yeah, you do, especially when you're in a position like us. You know, people look at you and look up to you. It's hard, but like you said, there's a lot of pressure on him to get that show done, and that's just it's one of them things. You know, he had permission to go there. And again, there's 3 million alligators in the state. I mean, they're dead all over the road. I mean, they're getting to be a hazard. So yeah, they'll loosen up on the restrictions before long. They have to because – you know, not for particular those laws, but they're going to have to loosen up, let more tags out, let more people kill them or something because they're getting to be dangerous.
But, you know, you have
you
to look at this.
You can't go fishing without them coming up to the boat now.
Well, no, you see that. I mean, they have no fear of people anymore. But, you know, you got to look at this from the standpoint of the agents. Suppose these agents said, it's Troy Landry, we're going to let him go, and then the word gets out. What do you think people would say then? Yeah, if it would have been me, you'd have put me under the jail, but you let him go.
The mayor or something. You know, if the mayor's got a DWI and you pull him over, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, it's your job. I mean,
absolutely.
If he's got enough stroke, he can get out of it or if he wants. But, you know, like I said, like the guy said, pay your fine and go on with it. I
mean, that would be
my advice. It won't be too big a deal.
Pay your fine, say your penance, and go about your business, and don't do it again. Well, Ryan, since we left you, you know, we talked to Captain Kirk. He said this was one of his worst teal seasons, and it wasn't a really especially good one for you, but a bad one for you is a good teal season for some folks. Give us a little bit of a recap.
Worst teal season I've ever seen. Absolute worst. I mean, usually, you know, you go out there and at least half the blind to limit out. I mean, it was just horrendous. The birds never showed up. And they showed up one day, and the water was so high they couldn't stay, and that was 3 days before the season end. I mean, they had a normal great day. Flocks of 30 coming in the decoys right and left. I mean, just beautiful. And next day, they were gone.
Yeah. Well, next season may be worse because if they're accurate, the population is down, and they're going to limit it to probably a nine-day season next year.
Well, you know, the rice fields in Texas had great seasons, lots of birds. The teal migration has moved a little bit west, and, you know, it's our habitat. We just don't have the habitat anymore. You know, there's a lot here, but the birds didn't show up. We never had but one little tiny cold front. So watch this week. They got a cold front coming this week. They're going to have more chill than you can shake a stick
oh,
at.
Oh, yeah. People will be saying, oh, they set the season too early.
No, it's not Mother Nature. I mean, you can't set Mother Nature, you know.
Yeah, well.
This is my favorite time of the year, no matter if they showed up or not. I mean, it's cool. The fish are biting. Although the river's coming up this week, it's going to go all the way to 4-9 by next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it's going to drop right back out. So, yeah. 4-9 is really pushing the bubble to get a big old surge of sediment in there, and it might dirty it up, and you don't know if it's going to clean back up before November to get those trout in there. So it might ruin my fall as far as fishing in the river.
Yeah. Well,
I hope not, because I really enjoy that.
Yeah, well, you got some casting blasting to look forward to, you know, come November. So if people want to get that, how's the schedule looking for the big duck season with some fishing mixed in?
Early in the season in November, I still have some dates left. But as you go on, and we have a big problem this year because we have so much negative tide in January that we can't even hunt. I mean, negative 0.9. I mean, you can't even get to a blind when you got anything under negative 5. So we have a lot of that. So I'm going to really be in trouble this year on being able to book a lot of dates. So I'm almost booked already for the late season. And, you know, we had it fixed with wildlife and fishery last year, and the people up northwest, well, they got mad because the season closed too early for them. But we got to have a three-tier season where there's a coastal zone where we shut the season down when you can't hunt. I mean, it's just, you know, and again, it goes in 3 or 5 year increments. I don't remember, but I'm going to be on them like gravy on rice when it comes, because we have got to fix this problem. I mean,
well, so far, days... so far, the new secretary, Madison Shahan, she's taken on some of these, you know, user group requested issues, and maybe that'll be a good one for her to work on.
Yeah, well, they tried last year in the other part of this. I mean, how in the world we're in the same zone as Shreveport?
and Lake Charles, both of you in the west, Venice being in the west.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I don't know how they did that, but they did it, and we're paying the price. But hope we'll get it fixed. You know, we'll suffer again this year, but I hope they do it before I'm too Dagamo to hunt.
Give us that phone number before you go.
Oh, yeah, it's 504-559-5111. And we still got some time early, you know, but right before Thanksgiving, from the start of the season till Thanksgiving, I still have some open dates.
Sounds good. All right, Captain Ryan, right, we'll talk with you next week, bud.
Sounds great, partner. We'll see you.
All right, there he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, our plastic man. In case you're wondering why we call him that, he simply abhors fishing with dead or live bait. He likes the plastic stuff. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk to two LSU national gymnasts, we can say that, Ashley Cowan and Sierra Ballard. We took them on a red snapper fishing trip, and they're going to tell you whether they liked it and how they did. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. A lot of you who are viewers of our television show called Bayou Wild TV know that we have implemented for the past couple of seasons a Tigers in the Wild feature, where we take LSU athletes out to enjoy the hunting and fishing resources of Louisiana and sometimes other states. And it's been very popular, and we have a show that's airing right now. We want to give you a little bit of a Tigers in the Wild preview, and it's a presentation of Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. And joining us this morning are two LSU National Gymnastics team members, Ashley Cowan and Sierra Ballard. Ashley, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sierra, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, ready to go.
Very good. Listen, if y'all would, either one of you, tell us about the accomplishments of the LSU gymnastics team this year. Somebody.
Well, I have to say, it's pretty much history. That's all, really. We won the SEC championship for the first time in 5 years in New Orleans, in our home state, in front of the purple and gold. Nothing better than that. And then we happened to go all the way to Fort Worth this year and won the first national championship ever for our program. And truly making history and doing it with the best fans in the nation behind our back.
So I guess the pressure's on for this year, right?
I mean, the pressure's on every year.
Yeah, it's true. True. Well, the pressure was on fishing out in the Gulf of Mexico. This was the first time for both of you young ladies to go out into the Gulf and to fish for red snapper. And we discovered that you carried your competitive nature over from the gym floor onto the offshore boat, the Kemosabe 2. Did we ever decide who was the winner? Was that determined? Maybe I'll ask each of you. Ashley, who won the fishing competition?
I feel like we went back and forth a little bit. I mean, reflecting on it now, I think Sierra may have caught more fish as soon as we got going, but I did catch the first fish. So it depends on what we want to, you know, judge the winner based off of.
All right, Sierra, your turn. Who won the competition?
I never thought that she would, you know, admit that. So it means a lot. I will admit she did catch the first fish. So in that competition, she won.
Yeah.
The others, I don't know. I kind of got too excited and I got a little bit lost in the sauce and was just locked in on catching. I wasn't really counting anymore.
Yeah, well, y'all both had a lot of fun. You limit on that for sure. Ashley, what was there anything surprising that you found unexpected when you went out there?
I did not think that we would have to drop the line so far down and that it would take so long to reel it back up. Like, there were some times where I didn't think that I was ever going to see the other end of, like, my fishing line.
And Sierra, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, kind of similar. It was just a lot of forearm strength. I don't know why I just, like, didn't process the fact that, yeah, the fish is fighting against you, Sierra. So it was a lot strong. Like, took a lot more strength than I assumed. But now, it was really fun.
Now, when we left, there was some discussion about who was going to do some cooking for these fish. What happened to these snapper when you got them back to your apartment?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, Don. It was so good. So we made fish tacos. Our roommate is such a chef. And so we both helped. But, yeah, she made fish tacos. We had a little crema on top and a little slaw. They were absolutely amazing.
Wow, you're making me.
We still have some of the snapper.
You're making me hungry. I guess y'all ready to go again, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's kind of
convenient.
I can totally
eat those again.
That's kind of convenient, having a chef as a roommate there, huh?
Right.
That really works out good. Well, I'm so glad y'all got to go with us. We want to invite everyone to check out some of the clips. They're on your Facebook pages and your Instagram. They're on the Bayou Wild website. In fact, if someone can't find Bayou Wild, an affiliate station near them, they can go to BayouWildTV.com and look it up. It's running all this week on all of our stations. And then, of course, it goes into the archives where they can check it out at their convenience. I got to tell you, you two are very photogenic. Y'all had a lot of fun, and y'all did a great job for first time is pulling up those big fish. They got a lot of pull power, don't they?
They do indeed.
I'm going to ask each of you this last question. If there's an athlete out there in high school that's looking to shop for a university to go to, what can you tell them about becoming an LSU athlete?
I think Sierra, you should take this one first.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that coming to LSU is like coming into a new family. I mean, LSU really embodies the entire culture of Louisiana and just that family atmosphere and just so welcoming and so exciting, and everyone's going to have your back no matter what. And I just think that it's a great community. And if you love community and you love people and you love relationships, then LSU is the place for you.
She left you 10 seconds, Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, I agree so much. I think there's such community, and it also really just sets you up for a great time in life down here.
Had a great time with you young ladies. Really enjoyed it, and hope we get to do it again. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for helping us with a Tigers in the Wild episode. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so
Good
much.
Good luck. We'll be looking for you on the gym floor. That's Ashley and Sierra. We'll see you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.